No, no. Start over.
Tonight, I'm very happy to welcome back to Many Rivers Books and Tea, Charles Pack. Charles and I have had many discussions about the I Ching and many other aspects of spirituality as well. And I always appreciate his enthusiasm, his humor, his dedication, and his really, you know, he studied the I Ching for a very long time. So I'm really looking forward to what you have to tell us tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Hi.
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 I am actually delighted to be here, and it says on the thing, coach and I Ching enthusiast, right? I am an I Ching enthusiast. I am more of a person who studies it than an expert. So I know there are people in this room who have more experience than I with the I Ching. So feel free to bring your wisdom to the table, and we can actually even spar about it if you'd like. My introduction to the I Ching started, well, before the I Ching, I was my story is something like I had up until the age of 30, my life was perfect. I had a perfect job, perfect wife, lots of friends, and a cute home in the suburbs. And as soon as I moved to California, all of that died, and my world fell apart. And in the midst of that, I got introduced to the I Ching as a guide. And what I've come to see the I Ching as, I'd like to read a couple of quotes from you. Robert Johnson is a Jungian analyst who has written a number of books, He, She, We. And here in his memoir, he said, "One's existence is somehow inspired, guided, and even managed by unseen forces outside our control. Whether called fate, destiny, or the hand of God, slender threads are at work bringing coherence and continuity to our lives. Over time, they weave a remarkable tapestry." It has taken the better part of a lifetime to accept this idea, and much of the time I still don't understand it, but I have learned to stop fighting it. In youth, I floundered around and followed the slender threads only when I felt like it, or when they seemed to be taking me where I already wanted to go. I often struggled to oppose them. As the fruit of my old age, however, I have finally come to the mystery. The mystery is this: there is one right thing and only one right thing to do at every moment. We can either follow or resist the slender threads. And then in the Soul's Code, James Hillman, another Jungian analyst. Hi, welcome. Writes about, he says, "There's a reason my unique person is here, and that there are things I must attend to beyond the daily round, and that give the daily round its reason, feelings that the world somehow wants me to be here." And then a little further he says, "The soul of each of us is given a unique diamond before we are born, and that it has selected a pattern that we live on earth. This soul companion guides us here. It remembers what is in your image and belongs to your patterns, and therefore your diamond is the carrier of your destiny." So what I've come to see, I'm basing this talk on several assumptions. One is that we have slender threads that kind of run through our lives. And the second assumption is that following them will become deeply satisfying for us. And the third assumption is that the I Ching can be a tool to be used to help us discern those slender threads and move appropriately in directions that fit our souls rather than what we think or what our personality or ego might think. So the I Ching is a direct map, offers a map or hints to what may be more inclined towards fits our kind of our destiny and away from what doesn't. So that's how I've come to use it. And what I'd like to do here tonight is to talk about the I Ching and what it's for, some of the challenges we're up against that could sabotage our efforts, do a brief reading with someone if we have time, and look at further options that you could use if you wanted to carry it for your own study forward. But let me ask a question first. How many of you have some... How many of you is tonight the first time you're exposed to the I Ching?
Sort of.
A little bit? Okay, and this is your first time?
Mm-hmm.
Michelle, right?
Yeah.
Hi, welcome back. And how many of you have done readings for yourself with the I Ching? Over, you know, some time in the past. Okay. How many of you have studied it seriously for 5 years or more? One, two, okay. Okay.
Who are they? One, two.
Helen, and there's a modest person in the back who studied for longer.
The word seriously.
Oh, so seriously? Oh, okay.
Okay. Study it 5 years humorously.
Right.
Humorously. Okay. There. Okay. Okay. Well, I just want to let you know my bias is fairly practical in its orientation. It's not so esoteric. There are many books and readings and things that can go into great detail about how you work it. And if you want to talk about that, come to the talk on the 15th of May, because maybe he'll talk about it. My orientation is to how do we actually spend time finding what feels more right for us versus what doesn't. And I have studied it and used it both with myself over the last 20-some years when my marriage fell apart and my career kind of fell off the... Well, and I was so embarrassed about all those things that I didn't have any friends. So what could I do? But I studied this book, and I tried to understand it. This one, how many people are familiar with this one? Yeah, this is the story. The story goes that at about 1150 BC, King Wen and his son, the Duke of Chao. Put together a working description of the aspects of the I Ching based on actually 1,500 years previously. There was even more. There was information on tortoise shells and all kinds of really strange things. Anyway, they made it a little bit more useful. And it came to us through a man named Richard Wilhelm, who was a missionary in China in the 1920s. He studied with an I Ching master and translated the I Ching into German, and then it was translated into English in 1950. There were several other translations before that, but this one became the one that was most useful for people, and it's pretty much what most people go on. If you become more esoteric, you study the old texts. But this is the main book. What had happened for me was I found it. I kept on finding it on friends' shelves, bookshelves, and I'd pull it down from the bookshelf and I'd look at it and I didn't understand a word of it and I'd ask them a question about it and they'd say, "Oh yeah, I used to throw it." It's a really big thing in the 70s, 60s and 70s. You threw the I Ching for this or that kind of entertainment, part New Age, part whatever. But when then I started having all my own challenges, I bought myself a copy and just tried to understand it on my own. And this is actually, again, the classic, and it is available at this bookstore, but there are other versions for those of you who are, there are other versions that are easier to get into. I'll tell you about them afterwards. Where the I Ching could be useful. basically, most fundamentally, when we're lost, right? We don't know what to do. We don't know where to go, and we haven't a clue about that, just about anything. Kind of a dark night of the soul. And we want to kind of get some kind of sense for what's the story here, and where can I move with it? So that's one. That's kind of a big, broad, very difficult time of life that sometimes the I Ching can be helpful for. But it's also a time when we're so confused that interpreting it becomes harder because we are so confused. So I used it actually in trying to decide about separating from my wife, and I just couldn't. I couldn't figure it out. I had to use all kinds of other things to finally make a choice to separate. But one of my clients, actually, who's a consultant, used it to try to. He's 65, and he was trying to decide whether or not to take another job as a senior consultant with a consulting firm versus try his own endeavor. And we threw the I Ching, and in doing that, he came to. It was very clear, which is very nice. Sometimes the I Ching isn't clear, but it was very clear that if he were to join this other firm, he'd have a lot of power struggles and difficulty with the existing hierarchy in the organization. And his heart was totally and completely in this new project. But he didn't want to notice it. He didn't notice it for himself. The I Ching just reinforced it. And, of course, he lit up when I started describing this to him. And I'd like to say that the I Ching at its best is it actually reinforces our own intuition about what's true. And that was the case with him. Another time to use the I Ching is when you're at a crossroads where you're clearly deciding between option A and option B. I have a nephew who's a senior in high school and trying to decide between an East Coast college and a West Coast college, and I suggested to him and his family that he do an I Ching reading, and he hasn't gotten back to me yet, but I'm not holding my breath because they're fairly conventional in their orientation, but I thought I'd offer it. So that's the kind of thing that you can I'll also get some help and insights on. And again, I want to say the I Ching is a place where it's not so much giving you answers as it is giving you something to think about and talk about and have a dialogue with yourself or even the I Ching about. There's not a place in here that says yes or no to this or that. But there is a place where if you lean in this direction, this is what might happen. If you lean in this direction, this is kind of what might happen. So, take your pick. Another time to use the I Ching is when you know what you want to do, you know where you want to go, but you don't know how to go about it. So you can ask questions about how to proceed. You know, I'm moving to that place. How do I? What might be in my way, and how can I go about moving in that direction? Another time is when, and another place for using the I Ching is for timing. You've heard that Ecclesiastes. To everything, there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to harvest. You know, there's all kinds of wisdom in this world, and this book has, I mean, this bookstore is filled with it. But when is the time to use one versus another? I mean, when do we actually go for something or just hold back and wait. In the I Ching, because it's based on Chinese mythology, there's much more of an orientation towards waiting than our culture. So if you started using it, you'd notice that there was a lot of take a breath, relax, and let the next thing come and see some, let something emerge. Whereas we've got this just do it orientation, and there's a few places in the I Ching where it's just do it, but there's a lot more nuances on waiting than there are on just doing it. So for those of you who are inclined to the just do it, it actually could be a nice teacher for you. Or you could just throw it in the river and, you know.
just do that.
And here's an example of that, of the timing of things. Is I have in my mind this thought to offer a 4-week class on how to use the I Ching and other ways to discern your following your slender threads. And I was very gung-ho and excited about this idea. And I've been writing all these kinds of ideas about it. And I was going to have a flyer for you and hand it out and all of this stuff. And the I Ching, more than once, I did it. I had more than one reading, basically said, you know, it's not time, you're not ready. So I'm not going to hand that out to you.
Now we all really want that was good advertising.
I have, by the way, a just do it part of me that's very, very active, and the I Ching is, I've run up against the I Ching a lot. There's another time you can use it is the who question. Who do I engage and how do I engage people? So you can often ask questions about how to involve yourself with another person for a business venture, or if you're looking for a relationship, that kind of thing. And I've been single a good chunk of the time that I've been studying the I Ching, and I often used it to ask about the women that I would meet. And I got a lot of feedback that I actually didn't use on holding back. but I looked back on the I Ching and found out that it had, you know, I actually would do my reading and I would do what I did, and then I'd go back to the reading afterwards and see, does it make, what did it actually say? Because I often, the just do it part of me would enter these circumstances even though the I Ching said, you'll be sorry. And I was sorry a lot.
But that can be said with most relationships.
Yeah, because you know, it's true. I mean, sometimes you can also get a suggestion to do something that is a very clear, it seems really right and appropriate to do it and to move forward. There's one changing line in hexagram number 19 is called promotion or approach. And in the hexagram, there's the second changing line is, not only should you move forward, but you can move forward swiftly, and the world is going to support you completely. And of course, my just do it part says, yes, I'm going to go in that direction. And I came to find out that going in that direction in that way doesn't mean that you aren't going to get hit with some, you know, challenges along the way. The first time I made an announcement to a group of people about this thing that I was proposing that I was all excited about, and the I Ching said, swiftly moving forward, one person asked me this, like, really annoying question, and she wouldn't get off it, and I realized that I couldn't answer her. I just didn't have a sense for it. So there isn't any promise of this or blessings, but there are times when you'll get a reading that says good fortune or misfortune. And good fortune suggests that if you actually follow in this way, in a fairly centered way, you're following your slender thread. You're following the way that actually works for you. And misfortune suggests that if you move in that direction, you will probably hit lots of obstacles. And even if you get what you want, was it worth it? Was it worth it in the end? So it's kind of a way to keep from wasting time and keep from using your energy in the wrong ways. And again, what's wrong? There's not a wrong way. There's always learning. And I Ching is not going to be, you know, there's no as much guilt as there is remorse about making the wrong choice. And they remorse, guilt is, you know, beating yourself up about it. But remorse is, I just made a mistake. Let me see if I can, you know, turn. I want to tell another story that there are ways that the I Ching gets us, can give us a message that's helpful, but there are things that get in the way and problems that happen. Some of them are external, meaning it'll tell you about circumstances being ones where it's just not fortuitous to enter this situation because the enemy is too great. I mean, that's a metaphor, but or the the enemy would be too great, or the obstacles would be too much, and there's a lot of waiting, and if you wait with the obstacles being too much, sometimes there's something that appears later. There is one place in the I Ching where you're to meet the obstacle head on, but it's only one. Out of 384 changing lines, there's one place where the obstacle is one where you just meet it. Maybe two. A lot of times there's a lot of holding back. So one of the biases for the I Ching has to do with finding the path of least resistance, following the Tao or the way. Tao is T-A-T-A-O. And how many are familiar with the Tao Te Ching? Okay, that's, there's a lot of feeling for what seems appropriate. And Lao Tzu and Confucius were very much influenced by the I Ching, and the Tao Te Ching was Lao Tzu's document, book. And Confucius actually took a lot of the I Ching and made it his own, and a lot of the interpretations are Confucian. But there are a lot of internal challenges too, and sometimes the I Ching points to those as sometimes I have an inner conflict, and the inner conflict is between two voices, one that says do it, one that says don't do it. If we're dealing with those inner conflicts, often the I Ching will go beneath it and ask for and give you a story or a way to look at it that's not so focused on the conflict that's between you, but sometimes it'll just say, you know, there's a conflict here. One of these can win, but is that really what you want? Or do you want to go beneath the difficulty that's happening and see if you can find another way? And again, it's about finding that other way. There's also the challenge of us having our own perceptual limitations on getting a reading, and that is where we think we know what it's saying, and it's really clear, but it actually feeds a part of us that says yes to this or doesn't even read something else. The I Ching is not a psychological document. It's much more about giving you directions, but you need to have to figure them out, and the interpretations are often based on our own faulty perceptions. I like to use the I Ching as a way to get a reading on the possibility that I have faulty perceptions, and if I have them, maybe I can look at that. It often will say, you know, why don't you look at how you're thinking about this? I had a client once who was a small business owner who was very focused. Here's an example of that. Small business owner who was interested in growing her business. She, however, when we got the reading, she was thinking about promoting herself at a convention in her field. And she asked about whether or not it'd be valuable. And what it basically said was, you could do that, but if you do, you're going to get overwhelmed with business. She already had a fairly successful business. And what happened, so I kind of said, you know, it sounds like it'd be valuable for you just to let it go because your business is already doing pretty well. She actually decided to move forward. She followed the her original inclination to go to this convention, and she got overwhelmed with business. And what I realized afterwards was that's one of her life patterns. It's her orientation to actually get overwhelmed. So to change that and to stop that would be for her to actually change a fundamental pattern, which was more than she could handle, and she just basically has maintained being overwhelmed in business since that time. That's her normal operating mode. You can use the I Ching to challenge yourself over time to finally break that down, but still you have to make the choice to do that. So let me just say a couple more things, and then we can do a reading. Let me just say I see the I Ching in a lot of different ways. One is as a soul-searching global positioning GPS system. So, you know, I'm here. I'm trying to go somewhere else. How do I get there? You know, you've got the GPS. This is where you are from a soul perspective. And this is how you'd like to, you can move. It's one way of looking at it. I see it as a potential kind of a channel for the voice for God or the universe or your diamond. You know, each of us has, if we each have our own diamond, why not let ourselves have some kind of hints as to where to go or where not to go? Offering a deeper story beneath the surfaces is another, beneath what we see. And then another way I use it is for fine-tuning. If we're feeling a certain way and you feel like you're feeling good about it, what would the I Ching say that is? And so you can kind of get a sense for it. I'm interested in embodying the I Ching. So can I actually know in my body at any given moment what hexagram I'm actually operating from and where I'm playing? And if that's the case, if I'm operating from 14, that's great, because 14 is about position in great measure, where you're fairly humble about it. But if I'm operating from 23, where it's about things are splitting apart, then I may be involved in something that I'm trying to hold on to when it'd actually be best to let it go. So, let's do a reading. I'm curious if someone's interested. I mean, we don't have to. I could just field questions if you have them. But one way to do a reading would be to give you more of a sense for where, how this works. How many people again have done readings? Have used the I Ching for readings? All right. Okay. So, would you like to do a reading? Are you up for that? Okay. So, is someone interested in having something read? Some reading about it? And it has to be short and brief. Okay, now we have to pick between three guys, three people.
Maybe we should throw the I Ching.
Okay, you pick a number between.
You have to number them in your mind.
All right. I have to number them in my mind?
Or you have to know the number you're going for.
Okay, the number between, the closest number between 1 and what?
100.
All right, we'll give you guys 3, and this will decide.
So pick 43.
23.
76.
Okay, Adam gets it. It was 67. All right. That's pretty good, 67, 76. So, Adam, what do you want to ask about?
About career.
Career. And work. Can you be more specific?
The energy's been up very strong for me. I did my work in my life, which was my passion, and now I wondered whether to go back to it in some form, or I need to. My soul's kind of dying in work that I'm doing now, and I've only been at it 3 months. I've already expanded beyond it, so I need to find out whether to return to somehow to this what I was passionate about and make that work, or to go on to completely new work. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to find a way to.
Okay. Good. So, whether or not to return to a passion or to start something new. Let's ask the question about returning to a passion, all right? What would be, and you often ask in terms of results, what would be the result if I were to return to my passion over the next, what, couple of years or a year or 5 years, 10 years? Do you want to make it a long-term question?
You mean when to start it or what? How long?
The result.
The result.
Yeah, the result.
What would be the result over the next 5 years? 5 years. Okay. So, how many of you have used coins? How many of you used the 3-coin version? How many of you have used the 6-coin system? Okay, so it's a little. We're going to use the 6-coin system, which is actually simpler, so that we can only get one reading. All right.
Can yes. I fan out some of this this answer to other people if they're also considering that, or does it only work for me?
It only works for you. One of the beautiful things about the I Ching is it's very specific. I mean, you can get astrological readings that are very specific to you, but you can get also a reading for an Aquarius. I just read my reading for Aquarius for the week, but it's, you know, all the Aquariuses in the world. Here's one that's specific to you, Adam. Now, so, let's see. How about, Adam, if we... why don't you come up here? Can I do this at the same place that that speaker is, or should we do it over here? Does it matter?
I think it'll be okay over there.
Okay.
The speaker's pretty receptive.
Okay. So in the 6-coin version, the I Ching is 6 lines. Six lines that make up the hexagram. And in the 6-coin version, we have 5 coins that are the same, 5 nickels in this case, and one penny. And when Adam throws it, he arranges them in a way that actually will give us a hexagram, and the penny will designate where in the hexagram the changing line is.
Okay. That assumes there's a changing line.
Yeah. No, I know. This is a simplified version from the 3-coin method. It actually limits our options, because in the 3-coin version you can get more than one changing line.
Or you can get no changing
lines. Or you can get no changing lines. That's correct.
So interesting.
Right. Right. So it is there. It is less so. If I were to work with Adam on a this question, we would flesh out the question a lot more, and we would use the 3-coin method so that there would be many more nuances to it, and we talk about it. But in this case, since we only have about 10 more minutes, I thought we can do a quick reading. So you're right. It is limiting the I Ching. And what I'm asking to do when you use this method is you're asking the I Ching to give you an answer, even though it's a little bit more limited. What the options are.
Does it actually limit the hexagram pool that it draws from?
No.
Okay.
It limits the changing lines, basically, to one instead of zero, or it could be up to six of them, which means in Adam's case, if there were a lot of changing lines, there's a lot of potential options, and it's a very chaotic circumstance. We wouldn't get that here. Okay. Other questions, comments?
Are you going to show us how you use this? Are you going to do that again with how you get a reading with six?
I can show you. Basically, the heads is going to be a yang line, and tails is going to be a yin line. And Adam's going to arrange, he's going to throw it on this thing and then arrange them closest to furthest away. And that's the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth lines. Okay?
You mean he's going to just manually take those coins up and throw them and put them in what order he wants them to be?
No. Actually, you probably need to sit here, Adam, and throw it here and then arrange them closest to furthest away. And the ideal is to throw them in a way that you can try to, they're kind of in a little bit of that order. Because you do want to get the six in order. Is that clear enough?
Yeah, you're trying to have them fall in the order you want them to be read in. He's not just going to sort of manually take this point and say, oh, I want that to be a game. This one's going to be... Yeah,
right.
Something like that. He's not doing
it. He's not manipulating it. Right.
Well, of course, his intention. I think I got it. I'll watch.
Okay. Okay. So you have to hold the question in your mind. What would be the result of returning to my passion over the next 5 years? Okay? And then in holding that result, then throw the coins and then arrange them from the closest to you to the furthest away. Okay?
Okay, so arrange them.
So that'll be your closest, right?
Okay.
And that one. Well, that's your second.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your third, fourth, fifth, sixth. Okay.
So there is some subconscious moving of the coins, not just how they fell.
There could be, although you could the way that it's taught in this book. This is, he describes it in here. If they're in order, if they're about, if you go to the left one first instead of the right one.
Oh, wow.
So as long as you know the rule that you're using, that's what you do. And if if it's a mess, hold the question again and throw it again. Okay. So let's here's what's happened. Adam has just asked the I Ching for some feedback. And now the I Ching is going to say, this is what I see about this circumstance. And let's see what it says.
Okay. What's your chairman?
Wow. Okay, sit
can
down.
You, can I'll, you read out loud?
I can tell you what it is, yeah. It's 50, which is...
But wait, so you're looking at these, and the top one might be a tail, so that would be a yang.
The bottom one's a tails,
okay.
And that's a yin line. All right. The next three are yang lines. Oh. Yeah, let me do this for you. So this is what he got. Tails, heads, 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 tails, heads. And he got the top line changing. And this basically is hexagram 50.
You memorize them all?
Yeah, well, you read them, you do them enough. And it changes to tails, heads, 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 tails, and then the changing line moves from yang to yin, and that's hexagram 32. Okay? Every book, by the way, has this in the book, for those of you who don't know about it, and it's easy to learn.
So you just reverse that?
Yeah, you reverse the top line.
I see.
So that's his only changing line.
Excuse me.
Okay. And yeah, by the way, if you want to look at, there's what other people have said. You can look it up. Does anybody want to see a translation from the books? Okay. Well, this is actually a very easy reading because 50 has to do with 50 is called the cauldron, and it is actually it's in ancient China. It's the place where the ritual foods were prepared for the royalty, and so it designates culture. It talks about culture. And by the way, I'm going to say all these things to all of you, and I'm speaking to you, Adam. The way that I work with I Ching readings is I will read translations and listen for and look for what resonates with me. Things may not make sense to me, but a line or so might resonate. So when I'm speaking to you, Adam, listen for what actually resonates for you. Okay?
Say that again. Can you just say what you said again?
I hope so.
Sorry.
When reading a translation, sometimes especially in the older versions, the translations are they talk about pigs in mud, or the marrying maiden, what does it mean?
Right.
But then there are interpretations, and in the interpretations you might see a line that actually makes sense to you. I need my glasses.
So that's essentially what you're listening for, is something that tends to ring true to you, the person who's heard it.
Right. That's right. That's right. And in this version, I'm going to describe to you a little bit more about this. This suggests that culture would be fed, Adam. Culture would be fed. High culture would be fed by you making this choice. It's actually a positive reading. And again, Laura, if others have any other kind of comments, feel free to add them, because there are other ways of interpreting something, and you can listen to what other people say and still hear something that actually resonates and rings true for you. Now, that's your current situation. And the most significant thing, as far as I'm concerned, is actually the changing line, because I Ching is about change. And it's about where things are constantly moving. So we throw something, you get a reading for today, might be different tomorrow, and your situation's always, the map is always going to be changing. But you asked a specific question with as deep a sense of yourself as you could. And given that, at this point in time, the sixth changing line is the most significantly positive of all the lines. And I'm going to read to you a little bit from that. I have my cheat sheet. This is my version of the I Ching, has favorite lines from 10 different translations in different pages here. And this is the Wing translation. There exists a general atmosphere of clarity and greatness. All circumstances are favorable. The inner self has reached a highly developed stage. Everyone will benefit. That's another translation from an unpublished piece. Wisdom is transmitted from the seasoned sage to the worthy recipient. Remain open to wisdom. It's as real as the wind, and its source is just about as predictable. Hexagram 50 happens to be one of my favorites, and it talks about the ting, or the cauldron. The cauldron's called a ting in Chinese, has handles. And when it has gold handles, which is the fifth changing line, it can't be transported anywhere because the gold heats up and it's too hot and you can't move it. So in that case, your gift is given to people who are around you, but you can't move the cauldron. You can't move your cauldron. You can't move yourself around. The sixth changing line has jade handles, and I don't know if you know what jade does, but jade does not transmit heat. Suggesting that you actually are capable, your vessel is actually capable of transmitting not only to those around you, but a long distance. You can actually carry this cauldron, you can actually carry the vessel of your gifts a long distance away. So now I'm saying all these things. What hits you?
Sadness. Away. It feels like something I was called to do. Gives me a lot of
hope. Yeah. Yeah. I would add to this reading that this gift of yours, this passion that you've had, has probably seasoned itself over time to the point where you actually can give it relatively easily. It's kind of had its quiet due and cooked itself, and now it's ready to be. Now it has much more freedom to go, to move forward. And it actually may take less effort than more effort. Although I want to also say the changing line. Can I say this? The changing line is 32, which is continuing, which means endurance, which means continuing to focus, which means keeping yourself on track. It's a perseverance furthers. It's the perseverance furthers hexagram. So there's a gift to give, and there's something that you must persevere. Laura wants to add something.
But just based on what you said, I thought this was interesting, the way they read 50. In business affairs, prosperity is suggested because you satisfied the demands of your market. In general, those ideas that you currently hold most valuable are indeed worthwhile. Whatever sacrifices you must make to attain your ideals will be rewarded, and your success will confirm the worthiness of your venture, thus reinforcing your confidence, which is kind of what you were saying. And then it goes on to say, you will begin to perceive what is actually possible for you to achieve and not waste precious energies on the impossible, those things that are not in accord with the cosmic order given the circumstances of your life. It's just a different way of reading.
Thank you.
Can you read that last part?
You will begin to perceive what is actually possible for you to achieve and not waste precious energies on the impossible, those things that are not in accord with the cosmic order, given the circumstances of your life.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Those are just excerpts you can
read. Right. And this is from the Wing translation, which is, I think, a good, very good beginner basic translation. I want to say that reading is an incredibly positive one. And there are, I often tremble when I give readings to people, wondering what's going to come in terms of the reading, because sometimes the reading is very challenging and would say something like, "Give it up." I mean, it's not going to be that direct, but it'd be something similar to, you know, that passion is old. It's done its thing. You've gotten what you've gotten out of it. You're trying to squeeze water out of a rock. This is not saying that. This is saying the opposite. This is saying that your success actually will be reinforced. Your success in the world will reinforce your own confidence, and you'll know your maturing process will know what to give attention to and what not to. Whereas in the past we may not be able to have. I mean, my Just Do It and reading this 15, 20 years ago, I'd often have this, excitement about something and it'd be intellectually brilliant and people would love the ideas. But what would happen? People go, yeah, can you produce it? Right? Can you produce it? And I couldn't. I just didn't have the wherewithal to be able to produce it. And that's where you get a reading, in that case, that would say, you got great ideas, but you're going to burn yourself out, and you just don't have enough resources to make it work. Is this making sense? Mm-hmm. We could talk some more about it if you want, Adam. But that's Helena.
Well, and the question was about what about the future? If you look at the present now, what about the future? Instead of compare it to the past. It wasn't about, it doesn't seem to me either one of the hexagrams says in the past you were this and this and this and this, and therefore in the future.
Right.
It's really totally in the present, saying right here, right now, you can have the confidence because of your own maturity.
Right.
To go forth into hexagram 32, and then you'll be reinforced.
Right.
So it's not about look back and see what you were, but
right.
About be here right now.
Right. Right. Yeah. And sometimes it will refer to the past. Other readings I've had refer to the past and said, you're deluding yourself thinking about the past. But yes, it's very present oriented. Other questions or comments, Michael?
I had a very strong guidance at the beginning. It could have very easily been four men at the beginning of this instead of three, choosing a number. But I had a strong guidance that if I had asked for a guidance from the I Ching, that it wouldn't have been accurate as if it came from somebody else. So I was actually accepting this reading in terms of what I was. What I was asking was perfect too. So
yeah.
Is that legitimate?
Well, here I would like to. I don't know if I'm going to answer your question, but I would like to say to you, part of my study of the I Ching had to do with I had lost my sense of my own intuition, and I wanted to reconnect to my own intuition, my own kind of inner knowing, when my life had fallen apart, I thought I had lost it. So I wanted some kind of system to support me reconnecting to my own intuition. And at its best, like I said, the I Ching is one that actually reinforces your own deepest intuition. Whereas, you know, you could think this is something that you're really interested in, any of these things, but in your deep voice, there's a deep voice that says, you know, I actually know that that's not. So that's part of what I think the I Ching is also supporting. So I spun off on your question into answering it something else, but...
But he got in touch with his intuition through
right.
his oh, yeah. experience.
Yeah. Oh, I see. So that reinforced your own intuition.
That reinforced my own intuition.
Yeah. Good.
That I did not need to ask out loud.
Yeah. Good.
Ask for a personal guidance.
Good. Yeah. Somebody else had a question?
I had a question. Would you say which, for a beginner, translation you recommend?
Yeah.
I would recommend either of these.
This is R.L. Wing's illustrated translation if you're more artistically oriented. This one is a workbook that actually gives you a chance to write on the pages. And so they actually are almost exactly the same, except this has pictures and other little wonderful pieces to it and more Chinese characters. So these are my favorite two. There's one that's actually not in the bookstore now that other people have recommended called the Everyday I Ching.
Usually have it in stock.
And then Jim can order that one too. I'd recommend for those people who are looking for more conventional orientations, this is The Laws of Change by Jack Balkin. It was put together by a Yale law professor. And it's very thorough. And this is actually the translation I use most when I work with business people. Because it's very focused on staying inside the conventions of society and what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. For those of you who are looking more at the transpersonal, the ego self kind of orientation, I would recommend Carol Anthony's A Guide to the I Ching, or if you're really interested, this one's even more sophisticated but also more difficult to work with translation, but it's good there. And if you're into this, you ever get any Sam Riegler? New Age, if you're into New Age oriented stuff. He's kind of West Coast California hip mode. It's good. It's actually good, and he's sometimes funny, and his translations can be really off the wall a little bit, but a lot of them are really, I think, the way he spins it is good. So that you can order too, if you want that one. Okay. So let me end by saying, what am I going to end up saying? I am open to giving I Ching readings. I've given readings from 10 minutes to 2 hours over the phone or in person or even over email. If you're interested in that, I have cards you can take or you can fill out, or you can just write your name and email address and phone number on this. And
the cards are on the table.
Here they are. My cards?
Yes.
Yeah, here they are. They're on this table right here.
Okay.
I'm doing a whole other thing. I'm doing a workshop in June called The Roots of Attraction Beyond the Personality. And if you're interested in that, let me know and I will send you the information about that. It's about working with attraction energy between people, mostly. Its focus is on finding this, letting our souls move towards their attractions rather than our personalities.
When is this? June?
In June, end of June. And last thing is some wisdom from, you know, we've gotten a lot of wisdom from the I Ching, but let's get some wisdom from America, right? Yogi Berra. If you come to a fork in the road,
take it.
That's the go for the block.
Thank you all. Thank you for coming.